Bron Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. A.B. Stoddard is joining us. And every week that A.B. joins us, First of all, he's my favorite guest of the week. Every week, no matter what, bar none. But
love A.B.
Every week that she agrees to sit down with us, I keep thinking to myself, well, maybe I won't have something completely wacky and unbelievable to bring up. And yet, every day I do. Today, it's the doctor. We'll get to the more serious stuff, like the New York Times story from yesterday. But the doctor, who again looks like the doctor from Independence Day, who was, you know, felled by the alien.
Totally does.
I mean, this guy is, he's a hoot, but... Is this story from over a year ago now, but everybody loves it because the guy's a whack job, right? Or wacky looking, let me say it that way.
He is worth the price of admission. I don't know about the rest of the cast of characters, but I definitely am fond of the doctor.
Yes.
I love that he felt that he felt raped or something.
He said
by
that.
Experience, but it came out today. It happened 14 months ago. It's just priceless. And the Sarah Huckabee Sanders response with the briefing, like, this was a regularly scheduled transfer of presidential documents to the White House medical office.
Right.
What?
This is always the way it happens. Keith Schiller, like, busts in the door with two other goons and scares you and takes the files away and gets back on, like, a secret, you know, presidential auto detail back to D.C. with the records.
Yeah,
that's the way it's done.
I just think that there might be some pee-pee pics in there, and that's why we got to
maybe
get
it was the pictures
out.
They wanted the most. We were surmising. Yeah. How did this just come out now, AB? Since this happened, so February of 2017.
I don't know why these people pick different times to sort of drop these things. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's friends with Michael Cohen, and Michael Cohen's feelings are a little bit hurt because president is pretending that he never really did any legal work for him, and he's totally inconsequential in his life.
Oh, wait.
From the Inquirer
yes,
after him.
Yes, that's the big part. The big story there with Michael Cohen is the Inquirer has a trash story on Michael Cohen, and you know the Inquirer won't do anything without Donald J. Trump saying it's okay, right? I mean, and I'm not saying that like, oh, it's absolutely a known thing. It's verifiably provable that that's the case. That was what Michael Cohen's job was.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe this doctor and Michael, you know each other, because when you're in the inner circle and Michael, you know, knew all the secrets about the balding medications or whatever, you know, the secrets are. And so I don't know. Maybe he told the doc it's time to rat out the raid. It's just the timing of these things is always so interesting because sometimes they just throw like a worse story on top of the story that we thought was unbelievable and so awful and so epic 3 hours before.
Yeah,
this
that's
tends
really
to
true.
Happen a lot.
It does.
Let's go to the New York Times story from last night, which was that there were 49 questions that the Mueller team would like to ask the president if they're able to sit down in a room with him. Now, the way that this story is being reported is that that leak came from the Trump legal team, not from Mueller's team. Now, that's, you know, who knows where these leaks come from at the end of the day, but there seems to be some consensus on that and that there's a reason that they would like to get that out there to inoculate themselves or to somehow screw it up so it's out in the public domain and therefore those questions can't be asked. What is your insight into that?
Well, first of all, those questions, of course, they can be asked. I mean, we all know it wasn't Mueller's team that leaked this. They've not been leaking, and they're not going to leak their own questions. But does it mean that they can no longer be asked? Of course not. The fear in Trump's inner circle is that when prosecutors ask you questions in depositions, they know the answer already. They're just looking for your answer, not the answer. And the lawyers all along around President Trump have feared that he's going to commit perjury in a deposition with the special counsel. So the Washington Parlor game today has come up with the response, which is Rudy Giuliani made sure this was leaked to the New York Times in order to build more consensus and frighten the president into definitely, even though Rudy tells everyone publicly he's trying to convince the president to talk to Mueller, this would, you know, prevent him from sitting down. Looking at this lengthy list of questions, many of which are open-ended and will require follow-up questions, many of which the special counsel likely knows the answer to, that he would look at this and say, yes, I guess I agree with you guys that this is just a lot of questions and I might not really help myself out by answering them.
Well, it's over, though, if he doesn't answer. If he doesn't sit down with Robert Mueller, then everybody legally is arguing that this is the end of the case right here. This is the last thing that they will do to tie everything together is get the president on the record for his answers here before they make a decision about how they're going to move, how the Mueller investigation is going to find, you know, before they compile their final report. If he doesn't sit down with them, then that becomes a whole other set of issues here. But it drags it past the primaries. I mean, he can add another year onto this, either fire Mueller, which I still kind of think is unlikely, but it's possible. Although you know now that you got the Freedom Caucus and some other people in Congress that are drafting articles of impeachment against Rod Rosenstein, you know, I agree completely. I'm glad the dog agrees with me on this. There's no chance that this is going to end anytime soon. And even if he fires everybody, I think there's going to be a lot of Republicans who want to run for cover with him and go, yeah, no, it was time. They had to fire him.
Yeah, no, that's a real concern right now, is that this brand, this band of Freedom Caucus members who are trying to take Rosenstein down with their threats and their articles of impeachment, although it's not backed by the leadership, you know, is trying to gain traction in the world of right-wing media and to try to make this sort of a base issue, like let's galvanize the base and turn out voters for the midterms and you know, blame everything on Rod Rosenstein. Remember that President Trump can't fire Mueller, which is why they always say, oh, he's not going to fire Mueller. He's not going to fire Mueller because he really wants to fire Rosenstein, because Rosenstein can really oversee some Mueller investigation.
Whoever he replaces him with would be the guy who could fire Mueller.
Or at least just really, really undercut the investigation, make it, you know, strap the resources, make restrictions that really limit the probe, a way to really kind of, you know, just basically strangle it. And that's the thinking. And then you get to tell everybody, no, I haven't fired anybody.
Yeah, so that's a little too late for that, I think.
Is to control it. Well, it might be too late for that. But it is, you know, it is this sort of tension where there are Republicans, I think, who are secretly hoping, lawmakers who don't want to talk on the record about this, who are secretly hoping for the Mueller findings to just make it clear to them, what has Trump done? Is he compromised by an adversarial government? Is he committed financial crimes? Is he a money launderer? Or can we just end this and say his campaign made some dumb mistakes, but it was all Paul Manafort's fault, not the Trump family's, and we can move on? I think there are people that really want clarity, and they see the effort by, you know, Mark Meadows and these other types threatening Rosenstein to really muck it up and just, you know, get into the fever swamps on eroding our institutions and breaking down the trust even further, attacking the FBI and the DOJ. Just to really help out Trump, and in the end, that they could really pay for that, you know, at the ballot box this fall and beyond.
I tell you what's interesting. There's a bunch of books coming out right now. Well, McCain's book is going to come out. Mm-hmm. That's, and you know, clearly the senator is quite ill now, and I think we can anticipate that. I think we can anticipate that he will not be returned to the Senate at this moment. And you've got another book coming out by Michael Hayden. He's going to be on the program on Friday with us. You've got another book coming out by Madeleine Albright. And they basically are all making the same argument, which is that the real problem here in America is not just tribal politics. It's the erosion of agreed upon facts. And this is
exactly right.
This is how, and this is what your organization does. You know, you're trying to, with this No Labels organization is trying to it seems like job one is to try to raise the flag there, because that's how, in Madeleine Albright's book, it's about fascism, right? I mean, that's right. This is how
and
fascists
Michael Hayden's
do what they do.
Piece this weekend, previewing his book, he quotes someone else who says post-truth is pre-fascism. Jeez. If you don't have agreed upon facts, you don't have democracy anymore, and you move right into fascism and authoritarianism. And that's what Trump's now lying 9 times a day, according to some new like fact checker measure. I think the Washington Post, maybe Glenn Kessler. I sent it to myself today. I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me. But this kind of when people become numb to lies and untruths, we've lost the process. And because it becomes normal, and then there is no truth, and there's no right side, and there's no guardrails.
All right. Well, that makes
scary stuff.
Yes, I know, but it's interesting that everybody's out there talking about this right now. And will
well, I think it's really important, and I laud them for it. I very much look forward to General Hayden's book. I call him a friend, and I hope that people listen to him because he's one of the few remaining voices that's incredibly, truly credible and legitimate. And I hope people will give it a read.
Yes, yes, he is. He was regular on this show and is becoming. You know, obviously, he's been writing this book, and hopefully, he will become once again. He ran the CIA and he was the
NSA.
NSA, and so this is a guy that knew. You know, he spent his life trying to protect the United States of America. And that's most of these people have. These people are on. That's the funny thing. They're on our side. They're on our side. And when people are trying to say, don't trust those people who've been on your side, that you have to think inside and go, well, why are they saying that? How does it benefit them?
What's also incredible is he not only knows how hard the intelligence community is working on our behalf and that the president happens to trust Fox and Friends more than our intelligence community, but he knows how effective other countries are at trying to undermine our precious, fragile system, and that they're doing it all the time, and to turn a blind eye to that is to invite it.
All right. Yeah. We'll leave it there, AB. Thank you very much.
Happy Tuesday.
Thank you. Thank you. I like the dog. The dog's with me on this.
I think there was a squirrel. I sometimes understand dog. And that
think of squirrel?
Sounded squirrel.
Squirrel!
Like, come on, pay attention.
Squirrel!
It's right there.
That squirrel can eat wires.
We're on the phone. This is pretty important over here. Inside the window.
All right. Let's check now. Here's Judy Pilek with the WGN News update coming your way at 4 o'clock. What's coming up?